a reflection on rest. Okay, and as promised by Jeroen, this is going to be a really, really, really long talk. You're going to need a rest after this. No, you're not. It's not going to be really long. I wonder what comes to mind when you hear the word rest. Maybe all kinds of things come to the mind. And maybe for some of us, it is this image of just like, oh, and feet up and so on. And maybe that's your ideal holiday. And for those who are on holiday right now, perhaps that's what you're going to be doing this afternoon, is just sticking your feet up somewhere in a cafe or wherever you're staying and just chilling out. But actually, rest can be all kinds of things for different people. I was talking to some friends the other day, and for one of them, their ideal holiday is to be this, just lying on the beach, doing nothing. How many people are lying on the beach, do nothing people? Wow, a rare breed. Wow, okay. So, whilst others' idea of rest is to do something, feel like the woman in the middle, to be like be rock climbing or out hiking or whatever. How many people are really active holiday people? Okay. So what's in between then? Okay. How many people like to sort of, I don't know, go to historical places like castles and museums and art galleries and so on? Anybody like that? Yeah, okay. So we're all different, aren't we? So for some people, just rest is watching a good movie with some friends. For some people, it's to sit and to be reading. And for some people, that would be on a Kindle or similar. Or others are purists and rather prefer to have a literal paper book. I mean, that's another difference. It's a bit like people who like Marmite or don't like Marmite. Is do you read an electronic book or do you read a paper book? Let's just find out how many people prefer an electronic book. Yeah. How many people are paper books? Yeah, you see? Yeah, that's why I think what I say to you sometimes, if you want to turn to your Bible, either the paper one or on your phone, I'm not sure you're looking at the Bible on your phone, because is it a real Bible? So I'm only joking. I use both. So, and it's very useful on the bus and so on. Got the Bible on the phone. But with different ways, rest means different things to different people. And that includes that sense of rest with God, of what does it mean to have time out regularly, to be still, to reflect, to maybe read the Bible, to pray, to worship. And that's going to look different in the case of different people. So today, in these few minutes, I'm not going to suggest to you do what I do. We're all different types of personalities and wired in different ways. And that's great, and that's fantastic. So those of us here who are extroverts, that's maybe going to be different from those of us who are introverts. And many of you assume I'm an extrovert. I'm not. I'm an introvert. And so maybe the ways that I'm going to connect, the ways that I'm going to get renewed are going to be different than someone who's an extrovert. And so we could go on. But let's move on towards the passage. And it's been a mystery to me what the next slide is. Oh, yes. This passage... these guys have got so busy, it says in verse 32, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. Life ever felt like that for you? That it's so busy, you've not got a chance to be still. And because it's so busy, you don't think there's a chance to think any other way. And so, for example, the idea to rest... it's totally counterintuitive. It's like, that is just crazy. And so in this story, when Jesus says to them, come away and rest for a while, what are you talking about? Mind you, Jesus said all kinds of stuff like that that messed around with their thinking. I love the story on another occasion early on when they were getting connected with him. I think, you know, a number of these early guys, not all of them, but a number of them were fishermen. They were expert fishermen. And they'd been up all night because in Galilee, that's where the shoals of fish would appear. And in the daytime, Jesus says to them, put the boat out and chuck your nets out and you're going to catch a load of fish. And I'm like, what? You know, what are you talking about? Okay, Lord, but because you say, we'll do it. And it's totally counterintuitive. And of course, they get this massive catch of fish. And this occasion, come and rest when it's been so busy. There is a context. At the start of the chapter, we see Jesus was in his hometown and is largely sort of rejected. And even though he faced that rejection, he then went teaching from village to village and took his disciples with him. So he was modeling what he was doing with them being there present with him. And even though he was rejected, he still went to serve others. And maybe one or two of us today just need to hear that actually Christ gets rejection. He understands. And maybe one or two of us need to hear that today, that you can bring that rejection to him. He does understand. And maybe in the context of safety and people you can open up with some trusted people just to talk that through. But Christ gets it. He's experienced the rejection. So even in the context of that, he's teaching from village to village. And then he sends them out. He sends them out in twos to go and do the same thing, to go and teach about the kingdom of God and go to pray for people. And they go and do that. And it's a busy time. It's an exciting time for them. As we'll see in the verses I'm going to refer to specifically in a moment, they come back and they're all pretty wowed out by this. Like, amazing. They all come back wanting to report to Jesus what's taken place. But also in the passage that, as Jeroen has referred to a little bit earlier, news of this got out, even such that Herod himself thought, oh, John the Baptist must have come to life again because there's all this miracles going on. What happened? And because, of course, he'd had John killed, and we won't go into the details on that right now. But this was all going on. So this is the context of Jesus saying to them, come and take rest. But also the context of them being so busy, it seemed like they didn't even have time to eat. And maybe sometimes in your work or your family life or because of a circumstance that crops up, life can seem like that, that suddenly all of what is seemingly normal gets shifted. And actually, it can seem that everything is just up in the air. And that's possibly what was going on here. For, in a sense, very positive reasons that they had been out doing all of these things in Christ's command. But nevertheless, really, really busy time for them. And maybe sometimes you feel like that too. And a bit like the picture of the woman here, because I didn't choose the best side, life can feel a bit fuzzy, yeah, and a bit unclear. And it all just feels a little bit much and a little bit hazy. So let's have a look at these verses as towards the end of what was read to us. In verse 30, the apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. In a very real sense, the 80 or so of us here today are also gathered around Jesus. Seek as a church community, as hopefully all church communities do, to be centered around Christ. And he is present here by his spirit amongst us right now. Doesn't matter that there's a whole load of the congregation away on holiday and so on. He is gathered here amongst us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. So just a few questions, just for a moment. Just take a little moment to be still. It's not going to be a major reflection time because we want to keep the service shorter. But thinking about the fact that they came and spoke to Jesus, maybe to ask ourselves, what would I like to talk to Christ about? What do I want to report to him? Is there something that I'm grateful for? Is there something I'm concerned about? I'm just going to give you a moment or two to think about that. And of course, when the disciples came and spoke to Jesus, not only did Jesus hear what they were saying, the other disciples heard what was being said too. So if you want to speak quietly with someone next to you, that's also fine. We're just going to take a few moments to reflect. What do you want to talk to Christ about? What do you want to report to him? You think, well, doesn't he know already? Yes, but it's the expression of our hearts. It helps us. Of course God knows already. Absolutely. Is there something you just want to give thanks for? Is there something you're concerned about? Let's just take a few moments and then we'll carry on. Verse 31 says, then because so many people were coming and going,
they did not even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. You know, quiet and rest is not just for introverts. A quiet and rest does not have to be passive. It's not just lying around going, whatever, and then hoping something happens. Though maybe for some of us, we do need to lie down and have some rest and go with whatever. Because some of us maybe are a little bit control freaks sometimes. And actually, we hear songs that are like, you know, I surrender all to you, God. And he's saying, well, that would be interesting. Like to see that one. Yeah. So, you know, maybe for some of us, that's exactly what we need to do, is to just let everything go. But what I really want to encourage us all is not to get into a fixed mindset of what rest actively built into our lives might look like, both in terms of general rest, but also in terms of our connecting with God. I think it's really important that we're all able to get hold of this and find ways of doing it. And that's why it's good to talk to each other and say, hey, what works for you? And you might go, yeah, that sounds cool. Or like, oh, that's weird. That doesn't fit for me. And that's all right. We learn from each other. But I want to ask us another question. What might a quiet place look like for me in coming months? And how can I plan this in? Some of us are detail planners. I'm not going to ask those who are. I know who some of you are. And some of us are total improvisation, just let it happen, people. And both have got strengths and both have got weaknesses to them in terms of their aspects. And it's okay, we're wired in different ways. But I want to suggest that with rest, we need to actively plan it in. Because if we don't, something else will fill your agenda. It really will. I want to encourage us all in our agendas to have do-nothing times. And I've joked about this before, but I'm going to joke about it again. Sometimes you need to have things where people say, what are you doing Wednesday night? Nothing. Oh, can I come round then? No. But you're doing nothing. Yeah, but if you come round, I'm doing something. So no, that's my nothing time. Now, if for you personally, putting do nothing in isn't going to help you, put something else in. You know, seriously, even if it's going to help you with reading the Bible, to literally put it in your agenda and say, I've got an appointment, okay? Just put it in. Do what it takes to help you, because we all need to block things in. What do I need to be able to step aside? Sometimes it's not just the time, it's maybe finding the place or the ability. I love the story. I think it is Charles Wesley's wife, Susanna Wesley, or was she married to John? I can't remember. One of the brothers she was married to. And they had stacks of kids, like millions of them. Slight exaggeration, but they had a lot of kids. Busy house, not much space. But when mum had the cloth over her head, the kids knew, don't you dare interrupt mum. Because that was mum and God time. So it wasn't just that she made the time, she took a tea towel or whatever it was, stuck it over her head, and that was it. And until the tea towel came off, I guess if one of the kids went, ah, mum, I've fallen off the roof, then she probably would have responded. But generally speaking, that was it. What is your version of the tea towel? What do you need to do? And again, that's going to be different for each one of us. But I want to encourage us, whether we're a regular member of ICL, or whether you're here on holiday and you'll be going back into work, or whatever you're normally doing when you're not on holiday in the Netherlands, that we block these things in. Because some of us just come off holiday, maybe you're still off work, and we're kind of in chilled out mode at the moment, and everything's all right. But it's going to kick back in again, the run of school, the run of work, or whatever it is. So how can we block these things in rather than it just thinking it's going to happen? Then moving on just very quickly now as I draw to a close. You know, sometimes our quiet and rest, our plans still can get wrecked. So we can plan it all in, but stuff happens. If you're a parent, you know that all too well. You've got time, you blocked in, and something happens. And because hopefully you're a responsible parent, and also because you love your kids, you're going to respond. You're not going to say, well, I'm sorry, I'm having my Bible time right now. Your arm may be broken. We'll go later. You know, I mean, there's going to be stuff. You're going to respond. Of course, you're going to respond. At least I hope you would be responding. And in this occasion, Jesus says, come on, guys, we're going to go away to a quiet place and get a rest. So they get on the boat, they go across, but the crowds have found out. And Jeroen's already referred to this bit. You know, it's 5,000 guys. Well, who knows, maybe there's 10, 15, 20,000 people. And says, Jesus has compassion on them. He was deeply moved. He said, even though he's exhausted as well, and teaches the crowd. And then in the midst of these guys being really tired, Jesus says something which is totally and utterly unreasonable. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you're experiencing that at the moment. You feel that God's challenging you about something and it feels totally unreasonable. He says to them, guys, give them something to eat. It's just not just like, you know, a long-lost relative or friend suddenly shows up at your door this afternoon. This is not a prophecy, but have fun if they do. And you think, oh, I've got nothing in the house apart from an orange. And there's 10 of them. What are we going to do? You know, this is thousands of people. And these guys who are exhausted, who thought they were just going to have some chill out time with Jesus, you give them something to eat. And of course, you know the story, and many of you know the story. I assume and hope that the little boy was actually happy handing over his packed lunch. But anyway, hands over his fish and his bread, and God does the miracle. You know, and sometimes even when we're exhausted, even sometimes when we feel we've got nothing left to give, God is able to take the small thing that we have and to take that and use that to touch other people's lives. There are moments of that where even with the principle building rest in, we need to be willing to make the sacrifice. But we do need discernment. We do need wisdom. Even Jesus rested. It says he regularly took time out, regularly went to lonely places to pray. He wasn't giving out 24/7 all the time. So we do need wisdom with it. But there are occasions where, because of life, things break in. You give them something to eat. And lastly, he then, at the end of the day, he hasn't forgotten that they need rest. So after this incredibly busy day, Jesus sends them off in the boat again. He says, I'll dismiss the crowd. And it says at night time, they're out on the lake and the storm has brewed up. So they've had out on this missions trip, came back to Jesus all excited, told him all about that. Okay, boys, let's go and get a rest. So they go and try and get a rest. And then there's this huge thing with the crowd. So they're there for hours with the crowd. And then Jesus says, okay, boys, go and get a rest. And now they're at nighttime and there's a storm going. I mean, these guys are beyond themselves now. And then just to totally mess with their thinking, Jesus comes walking on the water, which is a really normal everyday occurrence. Yeah, I mean, I can see 5 people walking along the Vliet right now. Have a nice walk. You know, and it's not surprising that these guys are terrified. They're just like, what is going on now? What else is going to happen in this block of time? And Jesus says, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that I'm with you. And again, maybe one or two of us need to hear those words today. Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Even the idea of building rest into your life because you've got a really ridiculous work schedule at the moment. And you're worried unless you keep going at every moment or the study schedule, whatever it might be, that it isn't going to happen. And yet there's this call, it's God tugging at your heart, take some rest. But if I do that, what? Don't be afraid. Take courage. Don't be afraid. It's part of exercising faith that whatever we're facing. And let's face it, all kinds of things can come along. And think of the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus went to their house. And it says Mary speaks to Martha and says, "You're worried and distracted by many things." She was so focused on getting things right for Jesus being there that she was missing the fact that Jesus was there and having time with him. And it doesn't mean doing things is wrong. Some people like to model this and say, we just need to sit at the feet of Jesus until he comes again. Well, you will drop dead sooner or later if you just do that. There are things to be done. But there is a balance with it. And on that occasion, the thing was needed was for them just both to listen to Jesus. Distracted by many things, we can all be. To a certain extent, you know, even arriving here today as I was cycling here, I was thinking about my dad and thinking about, am I getting on a plane later or not? And how am I going to speak this morning? And to a certain extent, my brain is a little bit all over the place. Hence, the talk might feel a little bit like that. I don't know. But I was just cycling along and singing those verses from Philippians where it says, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there are going to be moments, such as we've got as a family right now, where something happens suddenly. You need to get a hold of the peace of God. But actually, if we are people who are purposing in our lives, where possible, to regularly build in rest, whatever that looks like for each one of us, that's going to be so, so much more helpful in our lives. So to finish, these words, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. What areas of my life do I need to hear these words? Or are these words for me to help someone else who is afraid right now? You may be aware of somebody who's going through a tough situation, and maybe these words of Christ are a stirring to you to get alongside that person right now in their circumstance. Or it might be at least to just pray and say, Lord, is there someone you want to show me? A colleague, a neighbor, a member of the congregation, a family member, a friend, whoever it might be. And actually the Holy Spirit would stir you to come alongside them and help them in their place of need. Rest is so, so important. It might seem counterintuitive, but actually it's something that the Lord calls us all to do, to work, to live from a place of rest. We could talk about the whole Sabbath principle, but I'm not going to do that right now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for the story of this incredibly busy day or days. But Lord, you're called for rest. Well, thank you that it says in the Genesis account, the seventh day, and however we're supposed to take that in understanding, but that you rested. And then everything carried on from that place of rest. And Lord, I ask for each one of us here that we would find ways to actively rest, not just occasionally, but regularly. Lord, to find ways to connect with you, that the Bible would be real for us, that prayer and other ways of connecting with you would be real. And it's probably going to look different from each one of us. Lord, for anybody here who maybe is feeling overwhelmed at the moment, I pray for the sense of your peace. I ask for wisdom and discernment to know how to handle the things that they're facing. The courage, Lord, maybe the humility to ask for help from others, and the active faith to trust you. Lord, for each one of us, I pray that rest would be real. Lord, thank you that you didn't just create the universe however long ago, leave us to it, that you came. And Lord, that ultimately you gave your life. And Lord, as we draw towards a close of this service and we take communion together, Lord, thank you for what you did on the cross. Lord, thank you for the price that you were willing to pay for us. Lord, to take the wrongdoing of mankind and take it on yourself, that we might be made right with you and with each other. Lord, thank you. And I just ask your blessing in each person's life here, Lord, in your name.